Enjoy the every year.
No, I actually stand by that statement. I think Aaron Woods would have made a fantastic Mrs. Doubtfire. The weird thing about Sturlo is that he hasn't just lost all of his hair, he's now starting to lose scalp. If the 9/11 hijackers had Cameron Smith on board, everything would have been fine because he would have talked them out of it. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of The Voluntary Tackle, the only NRL podcast that Jarryd Hayne hasn't managed to sack. I'm your host, Eamon Brown. You may know me as that guy who is just as irritating as Hannah Hollis's eyebrows. In this week's podcast, we'll be discussing everything NRL, from Robbie Farah's exemplary record as coach killer to asking whether the Cowboys should be disinvited from the final series. We will also explore why Matt Moylan no longer likes his own club and preview the first week of the final series. But first, it would be remiss of me not to introduce my co-host for today, Xander Rizzotto. Hello, Xander.
Hello, Eamon.
Mate, it's good to have you here on the show. This week, apart from Josh Dugan managing to catch the team bus this week, did you find any surprises from the last week of footy at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I was really impressed, I have to say, with Jarryd Hayne's audition for Roosters fullback in 2018. The last 5 minutes in particular were a pretty impressive performance.
Yeah, he did put in a really good solid 20 minutes for the Roosters in the last game, didn't he? I think he kicked out on the full. I think he did a cartwheel, scored a couple of tries for the tricolours.
Yeah, look, the game was really in the balance there with about 15 minutes to go. But look, Jarryd wasn't going to let that game go to the Titans.
Why stop in the final round? And look, my surprise this week, Xander, was actually the performance of Josh Reynolds. Now, Josh, in his last game for the Bulldogs, didn't finish. He actually succumbed to an injured calf. Now, the last time Josh succumbed to an injured calf was during Mad Monday last year, and sadly that baby goat was never the same. Do you think Josh was a bit soft for not continuing on one leg? It was his last game.
Look, I thought Josh's performance was actually pretty good, all things considered. You know, there have been other players who've gone on to play like that. I can think of Greg Inglis, who did play after, I think, the first two rounds after having a leg removed, who probably was a little braver than Josh. But I thought, all things considered, you have to give him credit.
I do remember that game. Poor old Greg. Michael Maguire making him play on one leg. That was. I remember when Greg scored a try in that game. Because he's that good. He scored and he only had one leg. And it was like watching a wounded antelope score. And I'm sure actually when he scored, he slid over and he went...
Arr! He literally limped over the line. It was
something to watch, but he's a genuine talent. I just have a bit of a beef with Josh. I know you're accepting of this, but I think if it's your last game for a club that you supposedly love so much, like a strained calf isn't going to keep you from getting out in the field. And it made me think that maybe there might have been a few ideas that they could have utilised to actually get him out on the field. Maybe that they could have actually just wheeled him out on a stretcher and Michael Leisha could have just pushed him around on the field and ironically finally give Josh Reynolds good service.
I do think, again, this goes back to, you know, different coaching styles. And I think if they'd maybe had Madge Maguire, they probably would have worked out a way to continue having him playing. You know, maybe they could have, you know, like had his legs strapped to his forehead or something.
Maguire would have definitely had him out there. But anyway, enough talking about the Bulldogs. It's about as boring as their attack this year, so we don't want to do that to the listeners. But we're going to go into our first segment here, Xander, and it's about Robbie Farah. Did Robbie Farah just kill his fourth coach, or did Michael Maguire die of natural causes? That's the question we're asking our listeners today. In what has been described as a case of corporate whodunit, Michael Maguire was fired as coach of South this week. Despite Maguire putting in a brave face and suggesting the decision was amicable, his forlorn facial expressions told another story. One of a man who had just been violently raped with his own contract in front of a board that had finished the job through a fury of executive bukkake.
Executive bukkake.
The real question here, Xander, is who orchestrated the hit and will Robbie Farah be brought to justice?
Look, first up, I just want to say that I think that each club should experiment with executive bukkake just because I think it's performance enhancing.
Yeah, break the mold a little.
But I think it's a bit rough to be putting the blame on Robbie Farah for this. I think that there is a difference between correlation and causation. And even though Robbie's been at several clubs and at each of those clubs, there's been a minimum of three coaches be sacked whilst he's there. Yeah, fuck, it's his fault, really.
Yeah, I'm glad you stopped defending him because it's clearly Robbie's fault. No one wants to say it, but there's no doubt, as you said, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, you didn't say that, but I'm saying it for you. And he does have a bit of form on the board, doesn't he? I mean, not just his club. Obviously, he got rid of Mick Potter. He got rid of Tim Sheens, Jason Taylor. We can maybe add Michael Maguire to the list. Laurie Daly, he got coached by him, not this year because, you know, he's not mad. He didn't want to keep him in the team. But you could almost technically say this could be his sixth victim.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that Robbie was responsible for Laurie sacking because, frankly, it was this year that broke the camel's back for Laurie. But if it wasn't for the year before when Robbie was in the team, maybe they'd have won. Maybe he'd still be there.
Look, you don't know, Xander, but I actually have a bit of a mole at Souths and they've actually leaked a list of suspects to me who might be responsible for Michael Maguire's sacking. Did you want me to read it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'm hoping it would have been awkward if you'd said no. Now, the first on the list, it is in no particular order. I'm not saying that it's a prime suspect coming up first, but the first on the list is Greg Inglis. He's still angry at Madge for making him play on one leg during the round one this year. Do you think there could be a bit of credibility in that accusation that Greg Inglis has finally got his own back on his coach?
Well, I did read an article somewhere that Madge Maguire did hold his kids hostage. Actually, should we have...
Can't remember where that was. I don't think it was the mainstream press.
Yeah, it was some dodgy fucking third wheel site, I'm not sure.
That sounds like a great source of information. But I think that Greg has a genuine beef because it kind of put a crimp on his year, didn't it?
Yeah, put a crimp on more than just his year.
All right, well we'll probably put a line through Greg. We're not sure about him. Another person on the list is actually Bryson Goodwin. Now, his motive apparently relates to the fact that Maguire made him play first grade this year. Now, Bryson clearly isn't first grade material and he knows it and he's harbouring a grudge. Do you think Bryson Goodwin could be behind the sacking?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to lie. I'd actually forgotten that Bryson Goodwin played NRL. I can imagine that sort of loss of face would drive somebody to sabotage a coach.
I think you might have a point there. The third on the list is actually the Burgesses. We just put it down as inverted commas, the Burgesses. The thinking here, I'd wager, is because there are just so many of them at the club, it sort of just becomes a bit of a numbers game. It's just statistically more likely to be a Burgess. Also, it makes the club a bit of a family affair as well, and therefore it may have been a mob hit. Any, veracity to that?
No.
Well, I'm glad. Case closed. Can't be. And look, the final 17 suspects, I won't go through the list, are all Robbie Farah for various reasons. So I'm not sure if we got to any worthwhile conclusions, Xander, here, but we certainly delved and we came up empty.
No, I think we have a good idea of who did it.
It was Robbie. More to come after this.
Drop the ball, Gus.
No.
We've gone off half cocked.
No.
Sit down. There is no party.
Just a reminder that this podcast is brought to you by the new Paul Gallen Jeep, the only off-road vehicle that just keeps on going and going, even when the driver begs it to stop. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle podcast. The next segment we'll be delving into will be the question of should the Cowboys be allowed to play in the final series? When the Dragons went down to the Bulldogs on the weekend, it meant that a Cowboys side held together with a collection of chewed Wrigley's gum and Jonathan Thurston's old man tears qualified for the finals. NRL experts are claiming it to be the biggest example of an ill-deserved reward since Daniel Mortimer was given a grand final ring. So now that the Cowboys are due to play the Sharks in the finals, our podcast is asking whether or not the game should be allowed to go ahead. Xander, do you think the Cowboys should just do the honourable thing here and concede before kickoff?
Look, to be frank, what I think is that this is a true example of sadism on behalf of St George, more than anything.
Explain.
Well, there they were. They were 10 minutes to go, finals bound. But you can see they've been harbouring a bit of a grudge against the Cowboys for some time. Not sure what it's about. Might be because they're brown. I'm not sure.
Just impugning them all as racists? I like that.
Not just the tan. It's up north, mate. But they threw that game. There's no two ways about it. Like, they threw that game against the Bulldogs. They didn't want to be in the final, so it was clear as day. What they wanted to see was the Cowboys humiliated.
Okay, so, it's a fairly wide-ranging conspiracy theory you have there. I was just assuming they didn't make it because Josh Dugan played.
No, Josh was in on it. I mean, you know, the guy...
But does he have a choice? I think he doesn't have a choice in being bad, does he?
No, he has a choice. He has different levels of bad that he decides to be. He decided to be a particularly bad form of bad, and I think that contributed to this conspiracy.
Well, he's a real method actor if he's that's what he's doing, because he's been bad his whole career. He's really kept it up.
Mate, he commits to the bit. It's like Wesley Snipes.
And there should be more comparisons between Josh Dugan and Wesley Snipes where it's appropriate. For mine, I just think the Cowboys, you know, knowing that they can't compete in this game coming up, should just turn up to the ground waving a flag of peace and then symbolically throw down all of their mouthguards before signing an armistice. I guess the biggest concern with doing that and just foregoing the game is that there are fans who have actually gone and bought tickets and they want to see some action. So I'm proposing that just to throw the crowd a bone, the Sharks could potentially just go through some of the motions that they'd normally do. So maybe, I don't know, for example, Paul Gallen could just rough up Ethan Lowe, lie on him for too long and evade a penalty. Or maybe Luke Lewis could just take an intercept from a preposterously offside position. Do you think these are the kind of things that they could do and then everyone could go home and have a beer?
I think people would actually pay to see Gallen lie over the top of any number of people, in fact. So that may well be worth the price of entry on its own.
You're not referring to any kind of leaked online videos or anything, are you?
Not that have been publicly available.
Okay, good to know. It's got a really creepy image, actually. I don't want to think about that. Anyway, as a closing thought here, listeners, I think the Sharks versus the Cowboys would be a bit like Mayweather fighting Ali, but not like one of those hypothetical bouts like who would win in their heyday. I mean, Mayweather literally fighting Ali in 2014 at the height of his Parkinson's. Nobody wants to see that. More to come.
Drop the ball, Gus.
No.
We've gone off half cock. Sit down, there is no party.
Okay, and it's that time again for the Voluntary Tackle Secret Sound Competition. For those of you who missed it last week, here it is again. That was the sound of Josh Dugan imploding the Sharks season next year. Congrats to all those who got it. Welcome back, and we're discussing another important question in NRL. And the next one is it ethical for Manly to murder the Panthers 2 weeks in a row? Now, last time they met, I think it was a 40-point drubbing or something like that. And if they indeed go on to kill the Panthers in similar fashion, they may feel a bit like Ivan Milat did when he murdered those identical twin sisters from Scotland. Still thrilling the second time, but certainly a diminishing return on investment. Xander, should the NRL consider just playing the replay from last week on Fox and just resting everybody?
I think actually they should play the first round game that they played. I think it was early in June, where the Panthers actually won, just because Manly are a bunch of fucking evil people and should be kicked out of the competition.
Don't hold back on your thoughts of Manly. What's the genesis of your hatred towards the Seagulls?
Just don't like them.
So is it their silver tail image or...?
No, I think it's been their association with Trent Barrett lately.
So you're just not a Barrett fan?
No, yeah. I mean, I used to be indifferent to them, but there's something about that low forehead that just really, really freaks me out.
Look, with your Trent Barrett hatred aside, Xander, I can only see this game being worse for the Panthers, frankly, especially considering Matt Moylan and Anthony Griffin are now showing about as much love for each other as Pauline Hanson would a halal meal. You obviously see it another way. You think they can win?
Look, I think anything is possible under Trent Barrett's coaching. We're talking about a side that did leak 30 points to the Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago. So very well may be that a different Panthers side will turn up, and Daly Cherry-Evans may well decide that he's going to repeat the form he's had through most of the year and just roll over like a little bitch.
Yeah, he has had some off games this year, Cherry. I think occasionally he thinks he's actually just watching the game on Fox. For what it's worth, listeners, I think the onus should be on Manly to show some mercy in this situation. If they have a moral conscience, they would water down their team and take out a few of their more dangerous players in exchange for some of their unsuccessful 2004 squad. People like Albert Torrens and Scott Donald come to mind. Throw in a Daniel Heckenberg and I'll get off their case. More voluntary tackle after the break.
Drop the ball! Sit down, there is no party.
Now, as politically correct as it is to state, the Eels have done very well to make the top four this year. However, Xander, we all know that having a winger the size of an angry water buffalo that runs at the speed of OJ Simpson fleeing a crime scene helps a great deal. Semi's contribution of 7 tries per match is, and I don't think I'm overstating this, quite handy. So for the purposes of this chat about the Storm v Eels, we want to cut straight to the chase here and focus exclusively on Semi Radraja's chances of beating the Storm by himself. Semi's been so damaging this year that when he last decimated the Broncos attack, the Queensland Premier declared a state of disaster, claiming his try-scoring blitz was the worst thing to happen to the state since the birth of Justin Hodges. My question is this, Xander. Can Semi take on all of the Storm's 17 squad and win?
Look, I think he can. I think he proved a couple of weeks ago, in fact, that he single-handedly smashed Brisbane like a group of thugs.
Are you racial profiling Semi here? Why is he a thug in this analogy?
Could be amenable, can't it?
I guess in this hypothetical scenario, Xander, where if it was just Semi versus all of the Storm, would they all just try to sort of jump on him? I'm trying to imagine what that would look like. Would they all sort of jump on him like they did the giant in Gulliver's Travels?
Look, I have seen that tactic tried before.
But in this scenario, if Semi's taking them on by himself, I mean, is it feasible that he could actually win? I mean, I know the Melbourne Storm are a good team.
Well, he's not going to be dragged down by the rest of Parramatta.
That's true. He won't be dragged down by his teammates. There'll be no Moses around his neck. He'll be able to be free and unfettered.
He'd hammer the Storm.
Do you think Semi, even if he was by himself, it would be kind of humorous if he did the mousetrap?
I think it would be physically very tantric.
He'd be good enough to do it. He would fake one way, double back around and pick the ball up and still be effective.
And look like Del Sim in the process.
Now, there are rumours coming out of Melbourne that Billy Slater may be arming himself with a handgun, just in case Semi's damaging runs get out of control. Do you think that kind of tactic should be allowed in modern-day NRL?
Look, I'm always, I think that there is a bit of a thin end of the wedge scenario here. I mean, we did see from the early noughties with the Storm introducing the grapple, other sides started to use it. And you do have this sort of arms race. Now, far be it from me to suggest the game is too tough, but I don't know if I want the game to be literally an arms race.
Yeah, maybe we are taking it too far. So you're saying no mortar bums, no hand grenades or anything like that?
Well, listen, I mean, Billy Slater turns up 1 week with a handgun and then, next week the Roosters have to turn up with thermonuclear weapons.
It could get out of hand. You're right. I think we've solved that case, Xander. And for what it's worth, listeners, in my humble opinion, there is no man-made weapon powerful enough to stop Semi. More after this.
Drop the ball, Gus.
No.
We've gone off half cock.
No.
Sit down. There is no party.
Welcome back. And we're finishing off the podcast today by discussing Mad Monday. And we're going to try to throw out some constructive ideas to the clubs who didn't make the final series. And we might give them some activities that they might want to participate in to ease the pain of not making it. Now, I hear Todd Carney's coming back to Australia, and it actually made me think, what does Todd Carney do on a Mad Monday if he's drinking his own piss mid-season? I mean, strangle some prostitutes? I mean, what does he do?
You know, I actually think that for guys like Todd Carney, like, this is probably their downtime. You know, they spend the season absolutely destroying themselves only to actually turn into normal human beings once it's finished.
So you think he'd do something sort of dramatically ironic and just be really straight-laced?
Yeah, my feeling with Todd is that he probably goes home and just binge-watches, like, MasterChef.
Just watches House of Cards.
Yeah. No, he's definitely a MasterChef guy.
Well, I guess I'm going to start by throwing out, I think, some suggestions that I think are constructive to some of the teams. The Warriors, okay. Well, they'd be so used to Mad Mondays by now, it'd be actually hard to suggest anything to the Warriors because they'd be such an old hand, seasoned campaigners. I don't know, maybe they could dress up like actual footy players. Do you think there's something like that? Just pretend to be, I don't know, a competitive rugby league club.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wonder with a side like the Warriors, I just assume they probably go back to New Zealand and then probably just play, their off-season with the Auckland second side so they can experience something akin to victory.
Okay, Souths. Well, this one's easy. Just set Bryson Goodman on fire.
No, I hear Madge has taken that role this year.
He was a hard taskmaster, Madge. No, anyway, just for the record, I don't want to set Bryson on fire in a serious way. Just no permanent burns, just a good singeing. The Raiders. Now, I think Ricky would be too serious to let his squad undertake a Mad Monday session. I just get the feeling. I think he might let them have a mad minute.
I mean, I don't even really think it has anything to do with Ricky. They live in Canberra. There's nothing to do on Mad Monday.
Yeah, what could they do? Turn up to the Canberra Mint? Maybe go to the War Memorial in the afternoon?
You know, I did hear they were once spotted doing a tour of Parliament House on Mad Monday.
Maybe they could turn up to the Senate?
Look, no joke, if you turn back the clock to this time last year and pull out Question Time, you can see a green haze in the background.
You can just see a Jared Croker nodding at one of Turnbull's speeches.
No. He wasn't following it, but...
Just like when he plays. The next we have the Saints. Now, I don't care what the Saints do. I just hope that Gareth Widdop becomes abusive. That's my only hope. What should the Saints do in your opinion? A bit like their season, isn't it? That silence. There's just nothing to be said for the poor old Red V.
I'm trying to think of something.
We've got the Titans next. Now, I guess every Monday is a mad Monday for the Titans this year, especially with Hayne going off his brain up there. If anything, Monday should mark the moment they rein it in a bit, the Mad Monday for me.
Yeah, I wonder what the Gold Coast Titans would do when they actually take a genuine holiday, because the whole season kind of appears to have been a holiday for them.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't be allowed to take a Mad Monday because it has been a giant vacation anyway. Maybe that Mad Monday should just get down to business.
I think actually it's probably not a bad idea. Quite literally, the Titans should be forced to go and work boring office jobs.
You're right, they should do the office job thing because they kind of play like insurance salesmen at the moment anyway. The thing is, they can't get down to the business because they haven't got a coach.
No, they do have a coach. You're mistaken there. The coach has been Jared Hayne for quite a while.
You're right, he has been calling the shots. I do stand corrected. We've got the Knights. Now, for me, Mad Monday for the Knights this year should just be them doing enough meth to forget the last 3 years existed. That's three wooden spoons now. Do you agree?
No, look, I mean, I've got some mail on this, and from what I understand, they don't do meth up there. That's generally their side income, they make it.
Oh, I see. And for the record, we're not making any kind of criminal aspersions on any of the players up there, but I'm sure there are drug networks. Just put that one out there as a disclaimer. And to finish off, we've got the Tigers. Now, for me, I think the Tigers should abduct Mitchell Moses, who defected from the team this year, and throw him in the boot of Ivan Cleary's car and frame him for the crime. I think that'd be a good way to finish the year. Do you have any ideas?
I actually just think that they should shave Aaron Wood's beard for Mad Monday.
But then he wouldn't be Sharon Woods anymore.
Sharon Woods?
That's what they're calling him, mate.
I didn't know what you were about to...
Keep up. That's his own fan base.
Oh, wow. There you go.
I tell you what, Aaron Woods is the only forward who I've seen never face forward. He always backs into the opposition. It's a very unique kind of style.
Yeah, no, actually, now that you mention it, he does. He kind of throws his ass into them every time he goes in for a tackle. I mean, you know, I did wonder once if he was going for the offload, but I think he just likes getting his ass out there.
Yeah, no, he's a bit of a pervert. You're right. Well, look, that wraps it up for us today. I hope you guys enjoyed the voluntary tackle. Xander, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I'm sure we'll see you on future podcasts. Do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners?
No, but I'm just looking forward to seeing Jared in Roosters colours in 2019.
I'm sure that'll happen. He defects every 6 months. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe to us on iTunes and rate us. But until next week, just do what Greg Bird's love interest would do and always wear a hockey mask. See you next week. I know they say Joey did a fair bit of coke when he played, but Jesus, it helped him think fast with the ball. No, I'm not suggesting Mark has eaten his little brother, but has anyone seen Matt Guy lately?
I know people like to call Jared Hayne the Hayne plane. Well, if he is a plane, he's a fucking Malaysian one.